Saint Soldier is quite a celebrated act in the Valley. You've won all sorts of awards over the years, and you've been quite a presence as well, like in terms of your musicianship. Can you tell me a little bit about how you first got started in music?
Before music, I was writing poetry. It's just like for myself, mostly journaling my feelings and things like that. As a teenager, I grew up listening to hip hop music. And then like after graduating high school, around that time, my older sister was actually kind of nudging me into sharing my work with other people. And that's when I tried my hand at putting my poetry on beats because, you know, I just found it suitable. Yeah, I started hitting open mics around Vancouver and I just kept pursuing the journey. I met more musical people along my path that helped me craft things better and collaborate on things, and I just haven't stopped.
And you've released a lot of music over the years. Were you planning on doing anything in 2020 that got sidetracked due to COVID?
No, nothing got sidetracked for me. Honestly, this year was a blessing in disguise for me. Aside from like missing live shows, which I did miss the interaction with live audience and all that stuff. But aside from that, I got to really have more time to focus on my music. And going into 2021, I've already been able to create a ton of new music to release in 21. And I'm super psyched to do that. I'm actually releasing my first Punjabi rap track on January 8th next week. Yeah, I'm pretty psyched for that.
You have no reason to know this, but my other job is that I'm an event producer. So I usually would be also going to shows all the time. And I agree, the lack of connection, the lack of community, I think has been probably the worst part for most members of the art scene. So that doesn't surprise me. But what does surprise me is the fact that like none of your plans were disrupted, because the other interview that we have for this week is with another artist who is basically talking about how the COVID-19 pandemic is like a disaster for musicians. So to have this also aired in the same episode is really interesting, because I think that you show like an opposite side of the music scene that can still thrive just doing it remotely. What do you think it is about your music that works with being able to stay at home?
One thing I'm very lucky and grateful to have is a home studio. I can record, mix, master, and do all kinds of stuff. Second, some of the producers I work with, we have already been like pre-COVID doing remote sessions and things like that. And so we've kind of just been more or less easily adapting to the forced changes. And then aside from like live events, I don't really feel any other effect except a positive one, in the sense that I have more focus, more time, and you know, this isolation has kind of been a good time for me to be more reflective and less distracted with I don't know, a lot of social interactions that sometimes could take me away from my creative time, you know. And so in that sense, I think it's been different. But I can imagine for musicians who thrive in a live settings and also who generate income from live shows as a big part of their income stream, I could see how that would be devastating to them. I can definitely see that. And I know artists who have suffered from it. So I'm not going to say that, you know, it's been a good year for everyone.
Yeah, no, it's a good point that you bring up about having a home studio, but that just made me think, okay, so you must produce, mix, and master all of your own tracks then. Is that true? Do you just kind of do it all on your own?
Not quite. I do a lot of, so that's another thing that came out of this year. I released my third studio album this year, Karma. The beats that I use are produced by a handful of very talented friends that I have. They produce the music, and then I record and mix and master I mix vocals, and then sometimes I mix beats, but most of the time the producers I'm working with are better equipped and just better skilled than I am at mixing beats. So I'll Got leave it. That part to them. But I, this year I've really been able to learn a lot around mixing vocals, enough to master most of my music. It's to a point now where this year I think I've learned more about mixing and mastering than I have over the past 10 years.
Wow, that's great. I also want to ask you about some of the other stuff you do, because when I was looking through your bios and doing some research earlier, I was kind of amazed at the diversity and the amount of stuff that you've done over the years. I want to ask you about horticulture and how that fits into your life.
Horticulture. Yeah, that's cool. Nobody's ever asked me that question. Horticulture is my livelihood. I've been working in the nursery industry for 8 years now.
Wow.
It's a seasonal industry. So come March, April, and the beginning of May, I give my all to our company that I work for and I've worked with. It's a family business. Being a seasonal industry, it lets me have, 9 months a year to focus on other things in life. And I think that's one of the greatest blessings I've had this past decade, is an industry that supports me, a business that supports me in that way. And I'm just forever grateful for it.
And I had a question on top of that too, because I remember while growing up, because your family is well known in the South Asian community, your family used to have a driving school. You guys still have that?
Yeah, my dad still runs that driving school, and he's been very successful at it. Mm-hmm. And I know he's taught a lot of Abbotsford youth. And funny enough, he keeps my CDs in his car. And sometimes a student will be like, "Hey, you listen to Saint Soldier?" And then my dad always plays it off like, "Oh yeah, he's a friend of mine." And my parents are just—they're incredible. They're so supportive of what I do. They're so proud, and it just compels me to wanna do more. And it wasn't always like that. When my parents first found out that I was gonna be rapping, my mom supported me because she always wanted to be a singer. And growing up in India, my grandfather, her dad, he was a kirtani, so he was like a rangi, right? So he would sing at the temples,
religious hymns.
But my mom wanted to sing like songs, not spiritual music. She wanted to sing songs, and he didn't like that idea, so he kind of held her back from doing that. It kind of crushed her dream, and then but she would sing at home all the time, and she still sings. She loves to sing. She's got a beautiful voice. And so she, when she found out I was gonna go down this road, like maybe when I was around 18 or 19, she was very supportive. And my dad was kind of just like, "What are you doing? Like, do something productive, kind of stuff." And then when I did my like first good sized show with, like, I think we had like 700 or 800 people in Surrey, and there was artists from like all over Canada and some from the US that came for that show. And I invited my parents to that show. And that night we did this like after party after the show. My parents went home, and I was living with my parents at the time. So I got home at like 3 a.m., went into bed, and hear my dad come into my room, and he sits down on the bed next to me, and he's like tearing up, and he's like, "Son, when I heard you on stage today, I was in tears, and wow, your words moved me."
That's very inspirational, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said, I have your back through this, and he said, "Don't stop, just go." So, and he always told me, if I was to do something, that if you're going to take a step, take it with both feet. And when I got his blessings that day, it just felt like nothing can stop me but myself.
That would be a very inspirational story, especially to South Asians, that are communities, youth sometimes get in the wrong track and you go to gangs. This is a good story to publicize.
I'd actually like to ask you a little bit more about that, because you have written quite a bit and worked quite a bit on youth gangs in the Lower Mainland and the Fraser Valley in general. Why is this important to you and something you want to express through your art?
Well, it's a real issue that I've seen, and I've lost friends to it. It's very, very real in our community. I just want to speak to it the best I can. I feel terrible for the exploitation of the vulnerable youth in high schools and middle schools. I feel terrible for them, for their families, the lack of understanding. It's awful to see young lives with so much potential go down a path of, it's just a lack of values. I feel like if these youth are shown even one or two alternatives that could present a good lifestyle or some other value in life, then you could potentially change the direction. And I feel like, I have done that. I've gotten people telling me that they've left the gang life after listening to some of my stuff.
Wow. That's amazing.
When I got those kinds of messages, then it, in one sense, I felt like my job is done there, but it's not. It's just a part of an ongoing effort to be a help to the community in some way. I was lucky. I was always kind of afraid of my dad growing up. I was always a little afraid of upsetting him.
Absolutely. Because your father was well connected in the community. So that was probably an added pressure that you had growing up.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for it, because it kind of saved me from making bad decisions and that kind of stuff. I think those elements play a role in it. The kind of relationship that you have with your parents is crucial to determining what kind of decisions you make in your youth.
Absolutely.
I think that was a big factor.
Well, this is pretty moving, dude. When you said that you have had people come up to you and say that they left gang violence because of you and gang life because of you, you're doing your job then, you know?
Yeah, I like to think so.